When President Obama delivered his State of the Union address to Congress on January 27th, he surprised many observers by directly criticizing the Supreme Court majority, whose justices were seated directly before him, for their ruling in the Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission case. By a 5-4 decision, the court decided to overturn 100 years of law to remove restrictions on campaign spending by corporations, labor unions, and nonprofit groups, declaring these limits violated the First Amendment's free speech principles. In his speech, Obama said, "I don't think American elections should be bankrolled by America's most powerful interests or worse by foreign entities." Obama then urged Congress to pass legislation that helps to right this wrong. To that end, a number of proposals have been raised to mitigate the impact of the court's decision. They include measures to give shareholders more power over corporate political spending, require companies that pay for candidate advertising to identify themselves, and restrict corporations with big government contracts from buying campaign ads. Other groups are promoting an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that would establish that money is not speech and that human beings, not corporations, are entitled to constitutional rights. Another approach being put forward would establish a system of publicly funded elections. The Fair Elections Now Act, introduced in both the House and Senate, would encourage federal candidates to raise a large number of small contributions from their communities in order to qualify for public funds for their campaigns. Matching funds would be available to candidates facing well-financed opponents or who are targeted by local or national groups. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Nick Neihardt, president and CEO of the group Public Campaign, who explains the impact of the Supreme Court decision and how the Fair Elections Now Act could be an immediate remedy.
There are a number of good proposals out there. We think the one that will go the furthest in the shortest time is the Fair Elections Now Act, and that's a bill that is similar to the system that exists in Connecticut, Arizona, Maine, and for some offices in several other states as well, that allows candidates to run for office solely with small contributions. The federal version of the bill basically says that if you want to run for the U.S. House or Senate, you do so. Again, you can enter into this voluntarily, so it's constitutional. You can do so on the basis of just contributions of $100 or less. That gets you a fixed amount of money to campaign with, about the average it costs to win that same race right now. But if you need more money, if these outside expenditures come in against you or you have a very wealthy opponent, your option is to continue collecting small donations, again, only $100 or less, but they're matched 4-1 from a public fund, and that enables a candidate to compete on the basis of just small donations. And we think once small donations are matched and candidates begin to focus on small gifts from ordinary people, that there'll be enough money, again, with the federal match, so that a candidate can compete fairly against a fair amount of this big money that may be flooding in.
With the Fair Elections Now Act, does it have a strong base of sponsors in Congress, and what are the chances for passage? Are those chances increased by this Supreme Court decision with a lot of alarm by candidates who are going to be running for office this November to get something passed quickly?
Yeah, I mean, let me just start by saying in the House, where the lead sponsor of the bill is Connecticut's Congressman John Larson, who is the chair of the House Democratic Caucus, he has 129 co-sponsors right now with him on the bill. So you start out at 130, close to two-thirds of the amount you need to win the bill overall. And there's been an increase in interest in the bill since the Citizens United decision because candidates are wondering, what am I going to do when I have to raise even more money than I do now? Do I really want to spend that much more time calling wealthy donors from all over the country, not from my district, spending less time campaigning and less time on the issues that I was sent to Washington to deal with? And so there is a sense of we need change. They look at all the polling, and it shows voters want a Washington that's not controlled by special interests. Right now, over 80% of voters believe that Washington is dominated, legislation is dominated by special interest influence. And they're right, of course. And so there's already a solid base of support. Candidates are looking for a way to go, a way out of the current situation. So there is increased interest as a result of the Citizens United decision. And then I know the next question is, well, what do you do about the Senate? And the leader for this bill in the Senate is the number two Democrat, Senator Dick Durbin from Illinois, and he says the first thing we can do to put them on the road to winning in the Senate is a victory in the House. That will put pressure on the Senate. And then I think you're looking at history where a handful of Republicans have always joined the majority of Democrats, not all Democrats, but a majority, to put a bill over the top. So first battle is the House. The next is the Senate. There are other good measures out there, and I think people are right to take a look at, in the long term, a constitutional amendment. But that requires two-thirds of each chamber of Congress to pass it, and then you've got to win it in three-quarters of the state. So I think that's an important project, but it's longer term, and we need relief now.
Generally speaking, you know, I think there's a perception that the Republicans welcome the Supreme Court decision because they generally support the corporate agenda on a host of issues, and this could be a huge boon to them in a critical election year in November 2010. What do you make of how this is going to play out in terms of the urgency, maybe on the part of Democrats, to blunt the Supreme Court decision versus Republicans feeling they should defend it?
Well, I think it puts Democrats in a particularly difficult position because if they look at the key issues that helped sweep them into office in 2008, the mandate for change from voters, for change on health care, for coping with global climate change, for changing our energy economy, for regulating the banks and the big Wall Street powers, they're caught now because they've championed these issues. There hasn't been that much change coming out of Washington, at least so far in the first year. And if they keep championing those issues, they know that they're going to be under the gun for money and maybe not have any victories to take back home to the voters. So I think they're going to be desperate and looking for a way out of this money race.
That was Nick Neihardt, president and CEO of the group Public Campaign. Contact the coalition of more than 35 groups advocating public campaign financing at area code 202-293-0222 or visit their website at fairelectionsnow.org.